Great. Excellent. Good to see you guys. Great job, guys, and entering into the singing and worship. Yeah, thanks, Jase. It's just awesome. Oh, look at our young youth. Isn't that good? Let's give them a hand as they leave as well. Going to do their own Connect. Great to have some, looks like some kids from South Fremantle Senior High School today too. That's really cool. God's good, isn't he? So, this morning, we're going to talk about life groups. I've actually got, we are better together. Turn to your neighbour and say, we are better together. Scott and Melissa, you could probably give each other a kiss right there, I guess. Good to hear about your engagement. That's so cool. What a journey, Melissa, you've been on. Oh, that's so good. God's good, isn't he? And so, with this particular subject, life groups, we are better together. We have a vision. The first part of that vision is, how can I do my relationship with Jesus better this year? The second part is, how can we impact others? And so this morning I want to talk about this area. One of the best ways that you can impact someone else is through a life group. And so life groups are an important part of the Christian life. They are in fact a way of life for any Jesus follower. And so you'll see that on your chairs there is a form, and I would like us to fill those in at the end of by the end of the meeting, and the ushers are going to collect those. And they have on them some important information. Because, you know, we're a healthy church, but we could be healthier. And we need your help to be healthier in that. I would, if you would like information about life groups, if you're not in a life group but you'd like to know more, please tick that box. I would like to be a life group leader. I would like training to become a life group leader. Then please tick those boxes and we will be able to then contact you this week, one of our staff here at the office. And so Jesus had a life group. It was a group of people he did life with. And through their regular meeting together, they were able to build one another up. Sometimes it's difficult to build yourself up on your own, isn't it? Have you ever found that? Sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement. We need to pray for one another. Share the word with one another. Jesus broke bread with the other disciples. And really importantly, they had fun together. It's good to have fun together. It's an important part of doing life with each other. And so this group became good friends. Six had the same occupation. They were fishermen, but not all of them knew each other because they fished in different parts of the early church. They were sort of way away. But Andrew, Peter, James, Simon, John were fishermen. Bartholomew, on the other hand, had royal blood, and it was said that he was scholarly. Now that would have been interesting, wouldn't it? You got fishermen, and then you've got a scholarly man. And then you've got John the fisherman, who actually wrote the Apostle of John. John the fisherman, who had an explosive temper. No one in this room like that, is there? And you know, then there was Judas, a violent Jewish nationalist before he met Jesus, who tried to change his stripes, but never quite managed it. See, the church is made up of so many varieties of people. Jude, an amazing man. World power and domination was his big theme. He asked Jesus at the Last Supper, just so that you know that I'm not just talking out of, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Matthew was a tax collector who was radically transformed. And his book, the Gospel of Matthew, is all about the kingship of Christ. He surrendered totally. He was an amazing man. Then there's Philip, a warm-hearted person, but a pessimistic head. You know, I think probably that's why Jesus used to transport him to other places, because before he got too down on himself and God couldn't do anything with him. So that, you see, it takes up all kinds of people to make up his church. It takes up all kinds of people that we can do life with. Of course, there was also Thomas, who doubted just about everything. But he was still an important part of being doing life together with the others. So ask yourself this morning, who am I doing life with? You see, at some point, you have to choose to do life together. And amidst everything else that goes on in your world, amidst various personalities, I love this morning. Wasn't it great? Masumi, from Japan originally, getting a water this morning and doing life with an Aussie girl. That's cool. You know, we're grateful for what we have in our church and the variety we have. And so you can do life with these people. It's going to be just like it in heaven. In fact, there's going to be even more colors and races than we've seen already. What an amazing thing to get to know people now so that we can be going towards heaven in a greater capacity of unity, which I'm going to talk about this morning. Yeah, Greg French spoke about this last week. Wasn't Greg French great, by the way? Enjoy, Greg. You are friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Let me say that again. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15:14. See, we form strong friendships based on the vision that we have together for the cause of Christ. And that makes us friends and it forges great friendships. What a great life. What purpose we have together. And so one of our key verses for this year is Hebrews 10:24. Particularly on this area, doing life together. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider. See, we are better together. We are to consider how we can be of service to each other. We are to consider how we can stir each other up in the most effective way to increase our love for God. You know, we need one another to increase our own love for God. We need one another to practice good works. The definition of the word consider, and from Hebrews 10:24 there is, with the mind attentively fixed on one another. That's the beauty of a life group. That's the beauty of a small group of people doing life with one another, up to about 10, 12 people maximum. They render help, mutual help for one another. They give counsel to one another. You know, the Logos Critical Commentary says on this verse, continue assemblings together, foster love, and give great opportunities for provoking to good works. Who'd like to do more good works in 2015? We need one another. We need to provoke one another. And that's the beauty of a life group. And so I want to talk about my first point this morning, and that is that union is strength. Say it with me. Union is strength. And so we have a verse there, when we frequently and in numbers meet together, the powers, this is from Ignatius actually, when we frequently, you know Ignatius, just thinking about it, he was one of the early church bishops. And he had a lot of weight. He was one of the founding members of the early church that really made a difference. And so we should take note of some of these early fathers of the faith. And so it says, when we frequently and in numbers meet together, the powers of Satan are overthrown and his mischief is neutralized by your like-mindedness in the faith. In other words, we are better. Say it with me. We are better. Together. One more time. Come on, give me a. We are better together. All right, I want you to watch this little YouTube I've put together. Thank you. Turn the lights off.
All
right. You know, we had a leaders meeting last week for our life groups, and close to 75% of our adults are in a life group. But that means that there's 25% of our church that aren't in a life group. We are better together, church. And so, although that's a great number in many ways, I've set a goal, probably, that we could have 90% of our church in life groups. And so, what that would mean, we have 12 life groups right now. What that would mean is that each of those life groups would only need to invite and increase each group by 2 people, and that would mean that we would reach our goal. So, that's pretty achievable. And so, we are better together, and life groups doing life together is what we've been called to do. And some of the best advice I can give you is to do life with other Christians frequently. Don't just leave it to Sunday. Meet during the week. Enjoy one another. Have some fun together. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit as well this morning. See, Ignatius, the early father in Antioch, was correct when he said Satan is overthrown when we are frequently together. It's actually bad advice and practice to frequently hang out with those who are not of the same belief and values, more so than your Christian friends. What happens when you hang out with people that are of a different mindset and framework? You end up being more associated with them than you do the things that are going to help you do life better. And so we always become who we are with. And so we look out for one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to look out for you. You see, you've got to mean that. We spur one another on, the Bible says, to do good works, not sinful works. So choose your camp and sit in it. Don't sit on the fence. Can I encourage us as a church today? You're either in or you're out, but don't be lukewarm. Revelation even talks about it. Make your decision and do life with others. You know, I did that for a reason, even that funny little YouTube clip, because there are the various fish types or any kind of animal kingdom life, to be honest. They swim together. They find safety in numbers together. It is instinctive. God programmed them that way. And it's the same with us. We are more protected. We can do stuff on our own, but we are certainly better when we do life together. See, there's another reason which Ignatius picks up on. And it's found in 1 Peter 5:8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. There's safety in numbers. And so when we're alone, we're prone to attacks. We're prone to negativity. We're prone to depression. We're prone to anxiety, suicidal thoughts. Well, there's just a few reasons to actually be in doing life with other people. So secondly, stay with the herd. You know, I have a friend. Might use this stool for a bit. I have a friend who I've known since my 20s. He's actually a surfer friend. And I happened to, Jared had driven me up while I still had my cast on my leg, and he happened to drive me, well, not happened, he wanted to go for a surf. And I'm sitting on a bench watching Jared go surfing and watching the conditions. And An old mate came and sat next to me that we used to be in competitions together all those years ago. He's now 65 years old. He's very fit. And he sat down, and as you do, you reminisce and you tell stories. That's what men do. And so we're sitting there, and he asked me about my foot, and then he said, "Nigel, when your foot's better, you should come with me." I said, "Where?" And he said, "You need to come with me out to the outer islands off the coast, because I have a boat now, and we can actually surf together." And he said, "In fact, I don't like surfing alone because I've seen sharks in the water where I surf on these outside reefs." And he said, "There's this little group of us that have time midweek," because he's kind of like put surfing before his work. That's another story altogether. We won't go there. And so midweek, there's this group, and they go, "Are you going? Are you going when the weather's right? You know, are we going out?" And so he's got this group of surfers and himself. And he said, "You should join me." He says, "The reason is that I figure that every time another person is out there surfing, my percentages are greater of not getting eaten." Do life together, church. And so one of the best ways to ward off attacks from a cunning and cruel enemy is to stay with the herd. And life groups help us to stay with the herd in safety and with hope for our best life. I want to share something I shared at the leaders' meeting last week, an acronym. L is for lead, I is for interact, F is for fun, and E is for experience. This is what happens in any life group at C3 Fremantle. Lead, by definition, is to go before or with to show the way. You know, the beauty of a life group is that we are with one another. And although there will be a facilitator, we are really helping one another lead our lives. And I love that. As soon as my foot gets better, I've said to Steve, I'm going to do a life group myself, because I want to drive somewhere and do life with other people. It's so important that we help each other lead our life. You know, you can learn from anyone if you've just got a willing heart. Second is probably the most important part of a life group, and that is interact. The definition of interact is to act in such a way as to have an effect on each other. And may I add the word, a positive. It could be a negative, but in our life groups, we're going to have a positive effect on one another. Yes? And so this is one of the most rewarding aspects of a life group. I want to talk about our journals this morning. Maybe it hasn't been used this week. Can I encourage you to dust it off? When we did our vision for impact this year, we said we'd do a few things, and I would expect in each life group that there would come a great story because of what you've written in your journals together. A positive. If you can't think of anything else in the day, you can think of one positive thing that happened before you put your head on the pillow at night. Write it in your journal. It's important. Because otherwise life can get really dreary and negative, and before you know it, the devil gets his hand in. He roars around, the Bible says, like a lion. We need to do life together. What a great idea that, or Jesus wanted us to have church so that we could be together and have community. And that's not just a Sunday, as important as Sundays are. It's important we meet together midweek as well. And then there's the DAC, D-A-K, a deliberate act of kindness. Write in your diary when you feel like the Holy Spirit's ministering to you. Write it down in your journal. There's journals outside. You can go to the information desk. If you haven't got one, we'll find another one for you if you don't have one. How important it is to share some of those good news stories. Can you imagine how life could have turned out for Mandy, who we watched the Indian lady on screen this morning, if Budgie and Alance hadn't have said, hey, we go to a great church? What an amazing thing. It's a miracle of God. That's important when we do life together. We pray for one another and God comes through. How cool. So there's a deliberate act of kindness that should be going, I expect, in a Lance or Budgie's journal. And there could be a plus one moment where you really feel like that you've led someone a little bit closer. They say, why do you act the way you do? Why don't you swear like the rest of us? And you help to lead someone a little bit closer to a relationship with Christ. They might be way out at a 99, but you can bring them back to a 98. These are all things we should be sharing in our life groups. They encourage us. They encourage us in the faith. You know, a good leader will share a story connected to the Bible. And you take that, and we interact together. You know, King David was in a cave. It was called the Cave of Adullam. And in that cave, he had a bunch of, well, some of them were dubious in their reputation. Some of them seemed to be misfits. Some of them didn't seem to fit in so well. Well, aren't you grateful that there is a God that loves every single one of us? Aren't you grateful that no matter what your background or whatever circumstances you've been through, that there is hope with God and doing life together? And David was a man of ethical standing, more ethical than other men because of his relationship with God. But he's in a cave and he's in a bit of a bind. But he's in there, the Bible says, with his mighty men. Whether you're a man or a woman, I'm talking generically this morning. We need mighty men and women around us. And when I think of what happened with David in that cave, and he would have felt completely like he was in prison and behind bars. There was Saul, who was meant to be on his side, searching for him to kill him. He'd already had a few shots. And then there was the Philistines, who was just waiting to see when they came out of their hiding so that they could take them out as well. And so David's in a state of, I think he actually had one of those sad, melancholic moments. And he's in his cave and he says to his, kind of his men overheard him. He says, guys, this isn't looking good. What are we going to do? I remember when I was a wee boy of about 11 years old. And I remember going down to the well at the bottom of where we are at this cave hidden out. Going down the hill and into the outskirts of Bethlehem. And there was a well there and I remember having an incredible, refreshing drink of water from that well. This is why doing life together is so important. You know, three of his mighty men. We need friends, church. Three of his mighty men. They look at each other and they go, we can do this. And they climbed through the enemy. They actually navigated their way through all the situations and problems that could have defeated them. And they brought back a cup of water for David. And it wasn't the water that David needed, but it was hope. You and I need hope. And we get our hope from others around us. And that act made David stand up and recognize, you know what? We can do this. We can get out of this. We can move on. We can do the Lord's will. We can do it together. How important is one another? Love God, love each other. Show concern for each other. So, it's unfortunate, I believe, that many men never allow others to shelter them and stand guard for them. Other men will help your marriage stay strong or grow stronger. I could count a number of people in this room who have helped me with my marriage over the years. And that's not to say that it's been terrible. It's to say that that's helped strengthen it as well. Together we stand on God's word. Together we help one another move toward Christ. Together we can see a better future. There is great strength in staying with the herd. There is hope for our future. We are better together. We all need people who will understand our struggles. We all need people who will protect us and encourage us. We need friends who will get us through our darkest nights and days. We all have seasons in life. It's great to have people alongside us and for us who will look out for us. So the third point is F for fun. Lighthearted pleasure. It's great not to take ourselves too seriously. Other people help do that for us. Lastly, experience. One other thing in life groups that is going to be of vital importance is that in each life group there is an opportunity for God to move in a person's life or your life, depending on the situation at the time or that week. And so there is an opportunity for people to pray and look out for one another. And in that next life group meeting a few weeks later, say, how did you go with that situation? And we're believing together, in especially those people in that life group, that that situation has been changed because the Lord Jesus Christ has made a change that changes everything for you. God's into it's resurrection life. We need to do life together. Can we consider one another to stir up love and good works? So let me say this morning, who are you doing life with? Who are you doing life with? Jesus had more than a little help from his friends. You know, a disciple is a follower or a learner. The disciples followed Christ. Come, follow me. We need to be following Christ. We need to be following others. And we need to be doing life together because that's our best life. They learned from him. In each group, we learn from one another. We learn from our facilitator, but we help one another lead our best life. They were trained by him. And Jesus sent the disciples out. You see, our life is not just for ourselves. Doing life together is for those that can also experience the incredible life that comes through doing life together with those who don't know his life just yet. And so he was confident they would get his work done. Jesus was confident the disciples would get his work done. They had been with him, and now they would be for him. When you're with others, it is more difficult to be against them. Your interaction will make you believe in yourself and more about your purpose in doing life for Jesus. You know, when Peter was asked by John, when Jesus was asked Peter, who do you think I am? And Jesus said, in my words, you know what? That's easy. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did he know that? Because he'd been with Jesus. How do we bring out the best in others, the best potential? Because here we are with one another. We know how to bring the best out of someone else. And so there's a natural cycle of doing life together. And Jesus and Peter got to know each other's strengths. And later, when Jesus said to Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It wasn't just a nice thing for Jesus to say. He meant it. There was an incredible depth to it. And through their relationship, it inspired Peter to greater works of faith. We can never underestimate doing life together. We need each other. Christians need to do life together. We inspire one another to greater works of faith. Life groups create opportunities for more life groups. We know who we are, and we know what each of us is capable of achieving. And so when Jesus sent out his disciples, he made this statement, which we're going to talk about in the coming weeks ahead. "Go therefore and make disciples." What's one of our greatest missions of doing life together? Go therefore and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's obviously a little bit of wisdom from Solomon if we go back to the Old Testament. Two are better than one. They can help each other succeed. Never underestimate the power of doing life with others for your development and the development of others. Jesus sent his apostles off, and the early church was formed. The disciples I'm talking about, they became apostles. And they were, he said, "You go preach, you go perform, do the same things that I've done." He'd set the way. And there was a world. Can you imagine, actually? Can you imagine what would have happened if they'd never had that group? And they hadn't actually done life together. But because they did, the church is still the strongest organization and growing by the millions. There's power in doing life together. In life groups, you discover your best life. Your purpose is best outworked with others. So let me finish. We are better together. That last PowerPoint, thanks Conrad. We are better together. Maybe you're the missing link there. Why don't we join up today? So can we fill in those forms that you have there? Union is strength. Stay with the herd. Who are you doing life with? Just fill out those forms. While we're doing that, maybe, Bram, you could just play something. We're going to finish our meeting in a few minutes' time. Just quickly tick that box, write your name. Put your phone number there so that we can contact you this week. That'd be great. You know, God loves you. Cares so much about us. I don't want for us this morning to miss out on any opportunity. So once we've finished, if you just hold it in your hand, your piece of paper, is there anyone that still needs a little bit of time? Just give me a wave. We all finished? Great. So this morning, why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes. God loves you. He wants us to do life together. And I would encourage you this morning, whoever you are, will you do life with others? Will you put away perhaps some of your ideals or some of your upbringing and say, oh, I can do life on my own? Christ did life with others. So if we are to be Christian, we must do life with others. And with that in mind, the best place to do life with others is the house of God, together. And so I want to ask every one of us this morning, if we've not received Jesus as Lord of our life, to take this moment to receive Jesus into our hearts, to accept what Christ has done for each and every one of us on the cross. No one's missing out. He died for every human kind. He put his life on the line. That's a friend I'd like to stick with. As he's on that cross and he bore the burden of all our wrongdoings, the Bible calls it sin. He set you and I free. All we need do is accept what Christ has done for us on that cross. He has set us free from all wrongdoing and all sin so that we can have a relationship, a friendship, and do life with others in his church. And so this morning, if you're here and you haven't made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're here today and you have made a decision in some period of your life, but you know that you're backslidden, you're away from God right now, you're not in relationship with him, I'd love to give you this opportunity today, and we're going to pray this prayer together right now. Can we pray this together, church? Pray it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you came. You did life with us. And thank you for showing the way that you died on that cross. Thank you for taking away all my sin. I confess my sin to you today. I repent. I turn around. I turn back to you. I receive you as the Lord of my life. Lead me from this day forward in his name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've prayed that prayer, I just ask you on the count of three to pop up your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anyone else this morning? He says, yeah, that's me. One man saying, yeah, I need to get right with God. Is there anyone else before we finish our meeting today? Thank you, Jesus. I'd love to pray with you, sir. We'll do that when we finish right now and at the end of our meeting. Can we please hand our brochures, our form to the end of each row, please? And Greg, if you could collect those, that'd be fantastic. Before we go this morning, why don't we do that? Pastor Charlie's going to come and I'm going to pray for this young man that's just said, yeah, I want to get my life right with God. So this morning, let's be regular and do a life together. Amen? Let's do church together. We are better together. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Look forward to seeing you in the cafe.